In this module, we're going to look at taking our XML to the next level by applying some structure using types and schemas.
Yep, that's right. So let's take a look at what we're going to cover in this module. And the first thing is we're going to talk a little bit about XML schemas, or XML schema is the technology specifically. And we'll talk about how we use that to enforce type and structure for XML documents. Then we'll turn our attention to the database engine, and we'll talk about XML schema collections, which is how we use XML schema in a SQL Server or Azure SQL database environment. Talk about when you might use untyped XML, in other words, XML without schema, versus typed XML, so really scenarios for where this is useful. And then we'll lastly talk about how this applies to storing fragments of XML versus fully well-formed documents.
So let's get into it by actually looking at what an XML schema actually is.
Okay, so XML schema is a way of describing the structure of an XML document. XML is self-describing. You can use it to create any kind of document using any elements and any attributes you like. But of course, if I'm storing this data in a database, I might want to have some way of validating that those XML values that are in there conform to some sort of schema or some sort of set of rules that I want to place around them, and that's what XML schema lets us do. XML schema is based on a language, and sometimes it's called XML schema definition, or XSD. So if you see people talk about XSD or XML schema definition, they're really referencing XML schema. There were a couple of older technologies that were used to manage this. DTD, sometimes you'll see people talk about XML data type definitions. These were older ways of doing the same thing. XML schema is now the industry standard for declaring the structure of a document that you want to make sure it conforms to. So an XML schema provides a number of things. It provides some validation constraints, first of all. So it provides me with constraints around what elements I can have in the document, what attributes I can have, what types of values go in those attributes or elements, whether they're strings or numbers or whatever, and ordering of the elements. I can provide validation constraints for orderings of the elements in there, but not the attributes. They provide me, as I said, with data type information. I can do things like declare things as being strings or numbers or dates. And I can even do things like say it's a positive integer or a negative integer to get that sort of fine-grained control. And also, I can also define complex types of my own. So I could define a type for a customer that says, oh, a customer is basically an element that contains an ID attribute and a name element. So there's a certain amount of complexity I can use.
In this demonstration, we'll take a look at how you can validate your XML by applying an XML schema.
So I'm in Visual Studio, and I've got this document up here. This is an XML schema document, so it's worth taking a little look at what's in here. The thing about XML schema is it's actually declared in XML itself. So an XML schema document is, in fact, an XML document that defines a schema. So I've got here my XML document. It starts off with the schema root element, and I've put that in a namespace that I've abbreviated to XS. That just refers to the standard W3.org specification or namespace for XML schema. So that will allow any parsers, any applications that are going to load the schema to know that, hey, this is an XML schema and I can use it to validate XML documents. I've specified at the beginning again a target namespace, and what I'm doing is I'm using namespaces in my XML documents to associate them with the schema. So I'm saying that the things that are declared in this schema, the rules that I'm defining in this schema, should be applied to XML documents that use this target namespace. So if there are any elements in a document that use that namespace, AW order schema, then I can apply the rules in this schema to those and use that to validate whether the data is valid or invalid. And then to make life easy for myself, I'm declaring that as the default namespace for the schema as well. Otherwise, I'd tie myself in knots creating lots of little aliases for the same namespace. So it just makes life a bit easier if I use that as the default namespace for the schema document itself. I've also got this element form default here, which is a way of ensuring that client applications, XML documents that are being validated by client applications, It helps me determine how those will declare the elements in them, whether they'll qualify them with a namespace or not. I could let people just submit any XML document that doesn't have a namespace and validate it against the schema, or I can insist that they reference the same namespace, this target namespace here that we're using to validate the data. So once we've got through all the namespaces, we then get into the actual XML document itself, the XML schema. And the first thing I've done is I've created this thing called a complex type. I've said I'm going to have a thing called a person. So I've got a complex type called a person, and a person consists of an element, a sequence of elements, and the first element in the sequence, in fact the only element in the sequence, is an element called name of type string. So if something is a person, it will have a name element, and that name element will contain a string value. And if something is a person, it will also have an attribute called ID, and that attribute will have a positive integer, and it must have that attribute. That's a required attribute. So if it doesn't have that, then it's not valid as a person. So that's the first of my complex types. I've then declared a second complex type called an item list. And an item list will have a sequence of elements, and that sequence of elements will consist of an element called item. And this list of items, this item list, it must have at least one item element. So the min occurs as one, but it can have as many items in the list as I like, so it's unbounded. So an item list has one or more item sub-elements. The item list also, the element itself is, the item element itself is in fact a complex type in its own right. So each item will have an ID, which will be a positive integer, and each item will also have a quantity, which is a positive integer. So I've declared a thing called an item list, which contains one or more items, and each item has an ID and a quantity, and those are positive integers. So you can kind of work your way through. We can get really much more sophisticated with this. There are lots of different ways that we can put constraints around the elements and attributes and values that we have in our XML document. But this is a fairly simple example of declaring a couple of these kind of coarse grain types that I might want to reuse in my XML. So let's see how we use those complex types in the overall schema. We'll drill a bit further down. And what I'm saying is there's an element called order, and within an order, this order element, there has to be a sequence of an element called salesperson, which is of type person. So an order contains a salesperson, and a salesperson is of type person, and person is what we defined way up here. So each salesperson is a person, and it will have a name, and it will have an ID attribute. And then the order also has a customer, which is also of type person. So an order has a salesperson, then it has a customer. Both the salesperson and customers are the same type of thing. They're both persons. Then my order will have an element called items, which is of type item list. And we saw how we defined item list here. So the item list has one or more items, each of which has an ID and a quantity. And then lastly, my order has an ID of its own. That's the order ID. And that's, again, required. It's a positive integer. And it has a date, which is of type XS date, and that's optional. The order doesn't have to have a date. If I have an order that doesn't have a date, it might have been, you know, it's maybe been placed provisionally, but we haven't associated a date with it yet. So I'm able to specify some things are required, some things might be optional, but I can still declare them in the schema. So that gives me my schema for an order. Let's see how that applies to an XML document, and I've got a document loaded here. See, here's an example of an XML document that is based on that schema. And you can see that it begins with an order, which is what my thing down here said. We start off with something called an order. It then has a salesperson. And if I have a look over here, well, yeah, that's right. It should have a salesperson. That salesperson should be of type person. And here's what a person looks like. A person has a name and an ID. Well, sure enough, my salesperson has a name and an ID. And then customer, which again is of type person. And then my item list, which is items, and then each item has an ID and a quantity, just as I've declared it over here. So you can see that, you know, this document here is compliant, but of course there's nothing in the user interface to prove that to you. But one of the interesting things is because I have opened up both of these documents in Visual Studio, Visual Studio will automatically use the schema to apply type checking to the document because it knows this is targeting that order schema namespace And that's the target namespace for the schema, which is also loaded up in the environment at the moment. So if we have a look at what happens if I change this, we've got that, there's that target namespace. And you can see the target namespace at the top here. So that's how Visual Studio makes the link between the document and the schema. And if I were to say, well, my name of my salesperson is here, my name of my customer is here, it might be useful to have their address and whatever their address might be. But you'll notice that I've now got a little warning here that says the element customer in that namespace has an invalid child element. So it's validating this document against the schema. It's saying, hey, this thing's supposed to be a person. And in your definition of person in the schema, there is no address sub-element, so that's not valid. And similarly, if I got rid of that, but I perhaps got rid of the ID as well for that customer, so just cut that out of there. Again, I get an error saying, well, hey, this customer is missing an ID attribute. It needs to have an ID. So I could go ahead and put that in. And the same will be true at the order level. I could go ahead and I could take out the ID, and again, my order complains about that. But if I put the ID back in and take the date out, there's no complaint made about that because date is optional. So I don't actually have to have a date in there if I don't have a date associated with the order. So hopefully in this demonstration, you've had a chance to see how XML schema works. This is not specific to SQL Server or Azure SQL Database or anything like that. This is just pure XML. XML schema is used to define the rules by which I can validate an XML document.
Let's take a look at what we've learned about XML schemas and how we apply that to using them in databases.
So an XML schema is an XML document that describes the rules for validating other XML documents. In a database, we take these schemas and we store them in XML schema collections. So in an Azure SQL database or a SQL Server database, we can take an XSD schema, we can do one or more of these guys, and we can create an XML schema collection that collects all of the schemas that we want to use to apply to XML data that's stored in an XML data type, whether that be a column or a variable or whatever. So this allows me to optionally have columns or variables that are of type XML that are then further validated by checking them against a collection of schemas that I want to associate with that data in the database. The XML schema collection that I'm going to create, it stores the imported XML schema. So I just insert the schemas into these XML schema collections. It then validates any XML that I try to insert or modify in an XML data type that is associated with the schema collection. And it types that data as it's stored in the database. So if I've got a schema that says this particular attribute has to be an integer or this particular element has to contain a text value, then it will enforce that typing as I store the XML in the database. So it's a bit like the way that we use data types to enforce columns in a regular table, but then a further level down in the XML itself, we can enforce that data typing and those structures. So you might be wondering then if I can use XML schemas to enforce typing, I can enforce the structure and the data types of my XML data. When would I use typed versus when would I use untyped? So let's talk a little bit about that. You can just use an XML column. You don't have to use schemas. You could just use an XML column without any typing, so untyped XML. Either when you don't have an XML schema for your data, it's just ad hoc, unstructured data that you want to store in XML format and then parse in the application as you need to. Or when perhaps you do have schemas, but you don't want to have the overhead of validating them in the database itself. There's a certain amount of overhead in validating an XML schema. In order to validate, obviously, SQL Server or Azure SQL Database needs to parse the XML data and then compare it with what's in the schema. And that gives us an overhead. So if you know that you're perhaps already doing that in the middle tier of the application or elsewhere in the application, then you don't want the overhead of having to do that in the server. So you could just, again, store it as untyped XML without any schema collections. If, however, you have schemas and you do want the server to validate the data before you store it, you want that additional data validation, or you want to take advantage of the storage and query optimizations based on type information. Because we're typing the data as we store it, SQL Server can be more efficient about how it stores those internal XML documents, those trees, based on the typing information it has. And that can give you a little bit of efficiency in terms of how it's stored. And it lets you take advantage of typing information when you compile and when you're running stored procedures and so on for your queries. So there are some advantages to typing if it makes sense to do so. The other thing that's worth thinking about at this point, we've talked really about XML documents in this section here. We've talked about fragments and documents, so let's be clear about that. If I am using the XML data type, so I've created a column and I've said it's of type XML, I can put any XML into that by default. I can just stick any old arbitrary XML, as long as there's a starting tag and an end tag for each of the elements in there, it's not going to complain about that. So I could store documents that have a single root element or fragments that have multiple top-level elements. If I want to, I can specify a document keyword when I'm using schema that says not only does the data in this column have to be conformed to the schema, it also can't be a fragment. It has to be a well-formed document. So it would have to have a single root element that conforms to the schema. And that's as I say, that's specified using the document keyword. It's an optional thing, but it's worth remembering if you want to enforce that well-formedness of your XML that you have to explicitly say, hey, I want to validate against the schema, and I want to make sure they're documents and not fragments.
Now we'll take a look at a demonstration about how to use XML schema collections in SQL Server.
So I'm in SQL Server Management Studio, and I've got a query up here. You can see that I've got this create XML schema collection statement. So create XML schema collection, and I'm giving it the name AW items. So within the database, that's what this thing will be called. And the schema collection is going to contain this XML schema definition. It's targeting the namespace AW items, and it's defining an element called items, which contains a sequence of elements called item. And that sequence of element called item, there's at least one of those, so my items has to have at least one item, but it can have as many as items as I need, so it's unbounded at the upper end. Each item will have an ID, which will be a positive integer, and a quantity, which will also be a positive integer. And then the items element at the top level will have a count attribute, which again will be a positive integer, and that's required. It can't not have that, that attribute. So that's my definition for the schema. Let's go ahead and run that to create the schema collection. And I can use, there's a couple of system tables that I can use to go and check on these things. So I can go and have a look at the XML schema components and XML schema collection system tables. And that will give me some information where I can actually, you know, I could work my way through this and break down what are the elements that are declared and what are the restrictions that are in place for this. So I've got items, which is an element. I've got item, which is an element. ID, quantity, and count are attributes. And I've got types that encapsulate all of those. Okay, so I've now got my XML schema collection. I'm just going to get rid of this table sales order just in case that already exists, just so we start with a clean slate. And I'm going to create a table called DBO sales order. It's got an order ID, which is its primary key. It has an order date, and it has a thing called order items, which is of type XML. And I've specified, not only is this to be XML, it's to be XML, and it's to be associated with the AW item schema collection. So use that schema collection to validate the XML that I'm going to put into this column. So let's run that. And I'm going to try to insert some XML into there that's unqualified. So you can see it just says items. There's no namespace information in here or anything like that. So we'll go ahead and run that. And that fails. I get a validation error, declaration not found for element items in that statement. And the reason for that is, if I go back to my schema definition here, I had said the element form default is that it has to be qualified. So whatever I put into a column that's associated with the schema collection, it has to be qualified with the namespace that links it to the specific schema that I want to apply, in this case, AW items. So if I go back and look at that insert, This time, it's exactly the same thing, but I'm inserting it with that namespace declaration. So I'm just saying everything in this belongs to that namespace. That lets the database engine associate this XML with the schema collection and use it for validation. So let's try that. And it works. I get one row inserted into my database, and I can see that I've got that data in there. So it's happy with that. It's validated that against the schema. It's quite happy. Let's try and insert some XML that isn't valid. So I've got here an order that I want to insert. I'm associating it with the namespace, so that's all fine. But each item not only has an ID and a quantity, but I've added the price as well. So I want to see what happens if I go ahead and insert it with a price. And this time it fails because there is no attribute price permitted in that context. The schema didn't define that, so it doesn't let me insert that attribute as a value. All right, well, let's look at inserting a fragment into there. I want to insert two bunches of items here. So this whole thing here is what I want to insert. And there's two root level items elements. So it's a valid XML fragment. It's just not a document. It doesn't have a single root element. But if I go ahead and insert that, it's actually quite happy to let me do that. And that's because by default, the XML data type allows fragments. It doesn't necessarily allow it doesn't restrict me to documents. Okay, so let's go and reverse that and fix this so that it insists on having a document. It insists that I have one single well-formed items document. And what I'll do is I'll just go and delete that one that I just inserted that I now know is invalid. So we'll get rid of that. And I'll alter the table. And what I'm doing is I'm altering the table, altering that order items column, which is the XML column. And instead of just specifying the schema collection like I did last time, I'm specifically specifying document the schema collection. So I'm saying apply the schemas, but also ensure that whatever XML goes in here is well formed. It has a single root element. It doesn't have, you know, it's not a fragment with multiple items collections. It has to be one single items collection. So let's go ahead and run that alter statement. And now if I try and insert a fragment, so here we are again, two top-level items here. If I try and insert that, now I get a validation failure because it must be a document. It must be a single document with a single root element. So that's a demonstration of how we can use XML schema collections in a database to take XML schema and use it to validate the XML data that I'm inserting into the column or into a variable. I could use the same thing with a variable. And also just that final additional thing that we did was I can restrict it not only using the schema, but also to say it has to be a well-formed document. I can't support fragments in this data type.
So that's a wrap for using XML schema. What did we talk about, Graham?
Well, we talked about this notion of typed XML. We talked, first of all, just generically about in XML, the way that we use XML schema to define the validation rules for an XML document. So an XML schema document is an XML document, but it's used to describe the rules for what can be in other XML documents that I want to validate. So it allows me to define the different types, and I could create my own complex types, and those could be XML elements that contain sub-elements or attributes, and I could specify the definitive data types of those attributes and elements and what order that the elements appear in. We then looked at using XML schema collections in the database engine. So in Azure SQL Database or SQL Server, I can create XML schema collections. I can assign schema to those XML schema collections and then use those to associate with tables or columns and tables or variables that are of XML data type to enforce that schema validation checking. And then finally, we talked about the use of the documents keyword to eliminate the support for XML fragments and ensure that all the documents, all the XML that's stored in there is a well-formed document. So hopefully this module has been a useful introduction to using XML schema in the database for you. And we'll move on and look at something else.